3 and chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. Listen now to the word of the Lord. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been good upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem. The word of the Lord.
I'm going to do something I usually don't do, but I want to hold the mic. We are walking into Graceway Church. You are walking into our last day of our youth group retreat. Our guest speaker, Pastor Doug, couldn't join us, and so I'm giving the word for us today. Let's just close our eyes, a quick prayer before we begin. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation be pleasing to you, Lord. Amen. So technically, we're coming back from a retreat. As you know, at youth group retreats, our kids have lots of praise, lots of worship, lots of blessing, and not a lot of sleep. And so I know that you guys are tired. And so remember, just like at the retreat, if you're really tired and you like cannot help yourself, then you can stand up in the back. That's what we were encouraging them to do so that they can hear God's word. We had Pastor Sam and June lead for us at the retreat. Let me tell you, worship was fire over there. So many of our kids, I see so many worshipers in our youth group. It was so awesome to see that. And as an adult, you know, like when you're younger, you go through a lot of like, you know, you like retreat highs and type of things. But as you get older, those kind of, you know, flatten out a tiny little bit. But I have to say, at this youth group retreat, I am definitely at this amazing retreat high. I was so blessed, and I felt like I was there to serve you guys, but I also received some amazing things. I also received, I felt like, a promise over you guys and where you guys are going. It was awesome. And again, I really want to keep it short. All right, as you guys all know, soccer is a really big thing in our family. This summer, right here in our backyards, we had the FIFA World Cup. Doesn't it feel like a long time ago? It's only been a few weeks. But millions of people were watching this like worldwide tournament. And you get to see some of the best of the world compete right here in New Jersey. And the championship match was Spain versus Argentina. And Argentina was the defending World Cup champ. And Spain beat them 1-0. The thing that struck me wasn't simply who won, but it reminded me of something that athletes, you know, musicians, leaders, and people of all different genres of life have been saying, that getting to the top is really hard, but staying at the top is even harder. So Taylor Swift, she talks about the pressures of following up another album after hitting these like number ones. Olympic snowboarder Chloe Kim has spoken a lot about how difficult her journey back to the Olympics was after she had already won gold in the previous Olympics. My favorite tennis player Rafa Nadal, he has a documentary on Netflix, and he talks about how difficult each time coming back being excellent, it just requires this greatness more so than before. And our beloved BTS has talked about the challenge of maintaining excellence after achieving worldwide success and the pressures of a comeback, right? The principle is kind of universal, and building something is difficult, but rebuilding is even harder. And that's exactly how and where Nehemiah begins today. This story is the story of rebuilding. This was the theme of our youth group retreat. And it's not rebuilding something that never existed, but instead, Nehemiah was rebuilding something that had been broken. The walls once stood in Jerusalem, once reflected the glory of God's people, but everything was now in ruins. And that is often where God, he's going to start his greatest works. The story of Nehemiah is really the story of God's heart for restoration, because our God, he does not abandon broken things. He specializes in rebuilding those things. You know, for centuries, God's people were blessed. They had the promised land. God gave them prophets and kings. He gave them the law, and he gave them his presence, his very presence in the temple. And yet, year after year, generation after generation, they fell away. They kept falling. And idolatry became very common. Justice kind of disappeared. The poor were oppressed. And God kept repeatedly sending prophets saying, I'm warning you guys. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, these are some of the prophets that we've been learning about in Graceway Youth Ministry. But eventually God's judgment, it does come. And Babylon invades Jerusalem, the temple's destroyed, the city walls are torn down, the gates are burned, and thousands of Jews, they're carried away into exile. And then another turnover happens, and the Persian Empire comes, and they defeat Babylon. And this is where Nehemiah enters our story. He wasn't living in Jerusalem at the time. He served as a cupbearer to the king Artaxerxes in Persia. So he was an incredibly important position. He had influence, he had job security, he was very comfortable, very successful to get to a place where you can become a cupbearer. And yet, although Nehemiah lived in this palace, he heard the conditions of what Jerusalem was, you know, going through, and it broke his heart. It broke his heart when he heard news of where Jerusalem was. Because before God, before he rebuilds anything, he exposes what is broken. Nehemiah allowed his heart to break over the very things that broke God's heart. How invested are we in the things of God? Nehemiah, he teaches us that godly people, we should develop godly burdens. Okay? What breaks your heart? We spent so much time in worship. We got to pray, and then we got to hear stories about renewal, restoration, and building from Pastor Doug. And now the question is, what comes after that now? What happens now? What breaks your heart after this retreat high hits where we hear his words and then we go back home? Are the things that concern you and break your heart only me, me, me things? Or do the things and people and concerns of God break your heart? I know some of you came to the retreat. You're carrying your own kind of like invisible rubble, and no one else knows them, and you can keep them hidden. But we were pressing into those things. We were bringing our rubble before God. This whole retreat, we talked about restoration and rebuilding and how God loves us no matter what. And this story, it doesn't. And it can't end right there, okay? When you read Nehemiah, you see that God uses very ordinary people who are willing to say yes. Nehemiah, he wasn't a priest. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a military commander. He was a man that simply said yes, okay? Pastor Doug, he shared so much about his story. He started out with a lot of testimony, and he talked about his life and how God was faithful in his life from childhood, things that he's been through with his family. He talked about restoration in his family, in his relationships, in his job, in his school life. And he was telling us, ultimately, that he was saying, guess what? While my stories are extraordinary, I'm just an ordinary person. He was saying, I'm just an ordinary broken person that God wants to restore, right? He's saying, this is it. Ultimately, God called Pastor Doug, and God calls Nehemiah, okay? After months of prayer and fasting, Nehemiah, he finally leaves Persia and comes to Jerusalem, and he surveys the damage, and then he gathers the people together, and then comes the great invitation, and this invitation, youth group, is for you guys. It says, come, let us rebuild. Okay, come, let us rebuild. Nehemiah doesn't have all the resources or answers. He definitely doesn't have everyone supporting him. He actually has a lot of people against him. But he takes that very first step out. If you think about it, God could just, you know, snap a finger and miraculously the wall could be built. We live in a CGI generation and we can think of all the CGI ways that God could build a wall, like do blocks, just like kind of, I always think of Inception, like bending up and the wall is built. But he doesn't do that. Instead, God invites his people, God invites youth group, God invites Graceway to participate in his work. It's same true then, the same is true today. God doesn't really need us, but he chooses to use us, and that's his grace. You know, I think when you're young, it's very easy to say to God, God, you know what? I'll say yes only at the retreat. God, I'll only say yes when I'm at church, when I'm with my church friends. God, I'll say yes when I grow up and I become an adult. Or adults in this space, you'll say, God, I'll say yes when I'm finished raising my children and doing the things. I'll say yes when I get that job that I want, or when I have enough. And you can fill in the blanks, whatever. But God is calling us. He's saying he uses ordinary people. And guess what? He uses young people, a lot of young people. He always used young people. David was 15 when he defeated Goliath, or around that age, right? Josiah became king at the age of 8 years old, right? Mary, he carried the Messiah maybe at the age of 14. Timothy, he pastored while other people were questioning his age. Don't underestimate what God can do when you just say yes, right? Every rebuilding project starts one brick at a time, and rebuilding can only begin when you respond to God with a what? Yes. You got to say yes. So another thing you have to remember as rebuilding starts, opposition is always going to come. It's just natural. As soon as the work begins in Nehemiah chapter 2, the critics, they start to come. And man, do they start to come. They mock, they ridicule, they accuse, and then even enemies start to attack. So whenever God is rebuilding, the enemy comes to tear down. Sometimes it's through our tiredness. Sometimes it's through people. Sometimes it's through fear, temptation, a lot of discouragement. But I love Nehemiah's response. This is the greatest response to this. He says, the God of heaven will give us success. The God of heaven. His confidence isn't in himself. It isn't in the wall. It's not even in the workers that were building that wall. His confidence was in God. It was a biblical faith. And faith is not believing in yourself. Faith is believing in God's character. Faith is believing in God's work. You know, I think self-confidence, it's a great thing. Being confident, it's awesome, but it's only a small piece, right? The Bible teaches us something even greater than just self-confidence. It teaches us God-confidence. Your strength, it's going to run out. But God, He doesn't. Your wisdom, it has a lot of limits. But God, He doesn't have any. And your courage and your will, it will fluctuate. But God will always remain faithful. You know, some of you guys are going to leave the retreat on this high, and you're going to be determined to be and do something different and rebuild. And then tomorrow's Monday. Monday's going to come. And then temptation is going to roll around. Your daily habits are going to come back. Maybe your parents are going to be nagging you for the same things, those old things. And then the enemy is going to whisper, the opposition is going to come and say, oh, that retreat, you didn't change anything. You failed already. It's only Monday. Why do you even try? And the opposition, it's going to come, right? But opposition doesn't mean that God is not working. In chapter 4 of Nehemiah, as they were building, they had to hold weapons at the same time as they were building. So they took turns on the wall. Some people were holding weapons, other people were building, and then they switch off night and day, night and day. And they had to do this teamwork in order to multitask. This is kind of a slight tangent, but Nehemiah, he doesn't build this wall by himself. If you read through the book and you look at the building project of this wall, there's so many names, so many people that were part in different groups that build different pieces, and it was a huge coordination of things. There's so many people. It was a big undertaking, and one person, like Nehemiah, it's impossible for him to do it alone, but they did it as a group. And guys, it's going to be hard. Opposition is coming. And so you guys need to bond as this team. Be each other's team. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Sharpen one another. Okay? The story of Nehemiah is actually a tale as old as time, because I wish that the story had a good ending. It was like a happy, yay, it's over. They built the wall, success. But Nehemiah, he oversees and becomes governor for 12 years. And after that, he goes back to Persia. And then when he comes back, the people kind of return to their old life, their sinful ways. Okay, and sometimes you can do everything right. You can have this burden for God's work and people. You could be so blessed, and you can fight tooth and nail for spiritual and physical victory, and it leads to revival. Like, we had a retreat, it was a revival, and people love it, and we're like praising God. But in the end, it might not work out perfectly the way that we would want it to. And then here's the truth. It's because we are broken people living in a broken, sinful world. It's easy to look at the brokenness and then kind of just go, ugh, why do I even try? But this is why we need God's mercy daily. We need to depend continually, okay? In the end, Nehemiah is actually not the hero of the story. God is the hero. Jerusalem's wall, it could be rebuilt, but human hearts still needed God's redemption. And this is why we needed Jesus, the ultimate Savior. Sin leaves us in ruins, and makes our relationship with God broken, but this is where Jesus, He steps into that rubble, and through His perfect life, His sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection, He accomplished what no wall could ever do. He rebuilt lives from the inside out. Jesus did. That means, right, our habits and our past, they don't have the final word. Your failures, they don't have the final word. Your wounds or the things that you brought, they don't have the final word. But Jesus, in the end, he really does. And as we finish up, I want you guys to think about, what is God asking you to rebuild, like beginning tomorrow, after retreat is over? What is God asking you to rebuild? Be honest. Bring all your brokenness before him. God wants to use you, right? You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to be perfect. He still wants to use you. You just have to say yes, okay? And I'm warning you guys, opposition is coming. So don't let opposition convince you to quit. Hang on to each other. Pray for one another. If God has called you to rebuild, he's going to supply the strength that you need to do it, okay? I'm going to let lead last word. Nehemiah 2:20 is like the promise I want to speak over you guys. Last day of retreat. I know you're tired. And remember, I always say, even if you get one word of the passage, one reading of that, and that's all you got, then that's great. Here it is, Nehemiah 2:20, it says, "The God of heaven himself will give you success." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the blessing of our retreat. It was so good. It was so awesome. But Lord, there's another day, a tomorrow. And so, just as you promise your mercies that are new every morning, Lord, may we rely on you like manna from heaven. We have to just rely on your provision. And Lord, we know that we are very weak and that we fall very easily, that we have lots of rubble that we bring to the table. But Lord, you still pick us up every day and you say, "You are my good and faithful son and daughter." Lord, may we hold on to that truth that you've given us. May we hold on to the amazing things that we have heard and experienced at the retreat. May we hold it like treasure. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.